on the Mishnah at the bottom of Tzadi Zayin Amud Beis. Tzadi Zayin is 97b. Hopefully people were able to do 96 yesterday, or 97 at some point before now. So a new Mishnah.
After a pint of liquor, Rabbi.
I hope that made it a little easier to get through. But either way, the Mishnah tells us, Hamafrish Nekeva L'Pischa. I find this question fascinating because the question is, let's say you designated a carbon which cannot be a carbon Pesach. It is literally unable to be the carbon Pesach, and nonetheless you designated it as the carbon Pesach. So what happens? Hamafrish Nekeva L'Pischa. You designated a female sheep for the carbon Pesach. Does it have a different name? Is there like a technical term for a female sheep that I don't know about?
A ewe?
Is that what it is? A ewe?
In English?
Yeah. Is it a ewe? Is that what the name is?
E-W-E.
E-W-E.
Okay. E-W-E.
Okay, so you designated a ewe for your Pesach. O Zachra ben Shnei Shanim. Or if you made a male sheep, regular sheep, but it was just too old. Yira Ashi Yistayif. Interestingly enough, it has some kind of chalos. It has some kind of formal Pesach designation, even though it's impossible to do it with that. With that kind of animal, nonetheless, we say that you should let it out to pasture. V'yimacher v'yibludava l'nedava l'shlamim, and ultimately you should sell it after it gets a mum, and you should take that money and bring a shlamim. It's a real. It has a, like a kedushas of Pesach in it. Interesting halacha. Hamafrish pischa v'meis. I first read this and I thought that the carbon Pesach died. That's not what happens. Hamafrish pischa. You already designated an animal for your carbon Pesach, and then you died. So then, lo yuvienu b'no achra l'shem Pesach el l'shem shlamim. The son cannot come along and take the place, inherit the Pesach nature of that animal. Unless, of course, he was already designated on the Karban Pesach himself, right? If it's a family Karban Pesach, so then he's already included in that. Here, presumably, b'no is b'no hagadol who has a different Karban Pesach. That's my assumption. Hold on 1 second. Yeah, only if he's not manui on a carbon. That's what Rashi is going to talk about. Rashi says, yeah. Unclear from Rashi, but that's how my Masifta Gemara explains Rashi. Okay. The Gemara tells us, Amarav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Shmamina Tlas. We learn 3 things from this Mishnah. Number 1, Shmamina Bale Chaim Nidchin. That you could push off something which is a Baal Chai. Which is something we've talked about before, so I'm not sure why we learned it specifically from this Mishnah. But either way, even though the Mishnah says that if you designate something for the Pesach and it's no longer able to be used because the owner of the Pesach died, hold on, you cannot bring it. Hold on. Now we're talking about the other carbonos, right? At the beginning of the Mishnah, it says that you designated an animal which was not itself allowed to be brought as one of the as a carbon pesach. Nonetheless, you're not allowed to bring it as a shlamim afterwards. You have to let it get a mum, a blemish, and then bring it later. Ushma mina dichoy meikara havidichoy. And we also learn that a dichoy meikara, meaning that if an animal is just by nature incapable of being a certain karban, so that's a real dichoy, meaning that that even though you designated it for something it cannot be, it's considered a dichoy. It's not considered like nothing. It's considered like you have to push it away and let it go out to pasture. You can't just assume you did nothing by saying that. Ushmamina yesh dichoy bedamim. And similarly, we also learn that you can have dichoy bedamim. That when it comes to the Mishnah, when it says that you were that you designated a carbon which was incapable of being a carbon pesach, that it can't be brought as carbon pesach. But nonetheless, that means that the money. Hold on, I think this means that the money can't be used for, hold on. That the money, yesh dichoy bedamim. I'm not 100% sure what that means. I think I misinterpreted.
The money can't be used for shlamim, but it can be used for a free will offering.
according to Rabbeinu Chananel.
But the pasuk, the Mishnah says it could be used as a shlamim. So what's the difference? Shlamina yesh dechoy bedamim, meaning that even if a carbon is originally designated as for its money, meaning, I guess when you say that this animal should be for a carbon, it never even gets off the ground because this animal can't be for the carbon. So it's as if you're basically just saying that the value of the carbon should be, the value of the animal should be for a carbon. Even though that's the case, you still push it off. Even though all you're saying is that the money should go towards it, you're still pushing it off. You're not allowed to use it for the Karban Pesach. Okay. It's sort of like, how do we look at that statement, I guess. So the Gemara continues, Hamafresh Pischo, and then the person dies. Tanu Rabbanan, Hamafresh Pischo V'meis, Im Beno Memuna Imo, if the son was already designated to be part of the Karban, so then Yivyenu L'Shem Pesach, so you can still bring it as the Karban Pesach that it was before, because the son inherits the rights to the Karban, and he was already designated for the Karban, so we can bring it too. However, Ein Beno Memuna Imo, if the son was not designated, Yivyenu L'Shem Shlamim, you should bring it as a Shlamim L'Shisha Asar, later on, presumably for the, not for the Chagiga, you have to do it on Chol HaMoed, like it's a leftover Pesach that was never used. Interesting. I don't know why in this case, I didn't look into this. Why can't somebody else, a non-son, do it? Meaning, let's say somebody else is part of the karban. Just because the owner died.
I think the Gemara is saying that if somebody else is designated with him, regardless of whether it's a son or not, that he would be partnership.
But it only says Beno here. It doesn't say anybody. It says Ein Beno, it says Beno Memuna Imo. It doesn't say another person. So I don't know exactly if it's referring to other...
It's a contract, isn't it? I mean, you designate something. If you're a partnership with someone else, and one of... Not you, God forbid. If they have partners, and one of the partners dies, they're still obligated for their contractual arrangements.
Yeah, but it could be that because he was the owner of it, nobody else has, like, the financial rights over the animal. Even if they were going to be the one to eat from the animal, they don't have the rights to the animal. So the person dies. And that's the only reason I can think of it. But in that case, why can't the son allow the group to still use it? I don't know.
And it's interesting because we know we're not allowed to bring a Karban Pesach for yourself, right? An individual can't bring a Karban Pesach. So let's say he had an almana in the community who hooked up. He designated this almana or a grusha be part of his Karban Pesach, and he passes away.
Oh, so the Gemara is going to talk about that. Whether an individual could bring the Karban Pesach. We're going to talk about that. I don't know if it's today or tomorrow, but it's going to come up. So then, Yivyenu L'Shem Shlamim. So the Gemara says, L'shisha Asar in, L'chamisha Asar lo. You're not allowed to bring the Shlamim on the 15th. Why? Because you don't push away, you don't push off the Yisurim of Yantif for the sake of bringing a voluntary Karban. For an obligatory carbon like the Karban Pesach, so obviously you do that. The Talmud, you do that. But for a non-obligatory carbon, just like this, it's just going to be a voluntary shlamim, right? There's nothing else you can do with it. So then you can only bring that on a Chol HaMoed. Gemara says, Demis ha'av emas. When did this father, the owner of the carbon, die? Ilema demis kodem chatzos. If the father died, the owner of the animal died before chatzos of Erev Pesach, so b'no memuna imo yivenu l'shem Pesach, ha'chala anilatzi l'avi me'ikara. At the time that Chatzos hits, and there's an obligation to bring the Karban Pesach, so then this son is an Onen. So then how could he do the Karban Pesach? He's not supposed to do any Avodah for that. So then, therefore it should be just left and not used. Because he never had the obligation to bring the Karban Pesach when he's an Onen. Ela demis l'achar Chatzos. It must be that he died after Chatzos, in which case, Ein b'no memuna imo, yivyenu l'shem shlamim, ha-kavase chatzos. Right? If the father dies after chatzos, so then when chatzos happens, that carbon is already designated, it's already a real carbon pesach. In which case, even if the son is not part of the carbon, he's not allowed to bring it as a shlamim. Because it's already a carbon pesach. In which case, you have to let it yira ad sheistayv. Right? It's basically like Moser HaPesach.
You have to let it get a blemish? Is that what you're saying?
I think so. Hold on.
Cool.
Yeah, I think that's what we say.
Well, it's part of a Chabura that
Oh, so that's what I was asking before. Are you allowed to allow the Chabura to do it? It doesn't sound like that. Again, maybe it's an ownership issue, that he's the owner of it, only the son has the rights to the ownership of it.
And what happens if the guy dies before Chatzos again?
If he dies before Chatzos, so then the child can't possibly bring the Karban because he's an Onin at the time. And if you're an Onin...
He could bury his father... Not be an Onan before Pesach hits and then make a Korban.
Yeah, I guess. Then that wouldn't be a Chiddush, right? The Mishnah wouldn't have to tell us that thing. But yeah.
The next paragraph says bring a Pesach Sheni.
Oh, well, that's what the Gemara is about to say. Explain it. Right? Right now, we're saying, Mimanafshach. If he died before, so then if the son was part of it, so then he can't bring the Korban Pesach. If he died after Chatzos, so even if the son's not part of it, he's not allowed to bring it as a Shlamin. So then, Mimanavshach, you know, it doesn't make any sense to say if the father dies, these are the halachas, because neither of those halachas apply fully. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav l'olam demiskodem chatzos. Really, as Jeff pointed out, when he dies before chatzos, then you have a problem of onin, umayiv yen l'shem pesach. What does it mean to bring it as a pesach? L'shem pesach sheni. You can't bring it that day because you're an onin, but you could bring it later on after you're not able to bring the karm pesach that day. You can bring it later on for pesach sheni.
Okay.
But then there's a whole slew of another problem. Let's say it gets a mum between then and when, you know, there's a whole bunch of other issues.
Yeah, well, that would have the regular halachos of any carbon pesach that gets a mum. You know, but yeah. Yeah, it's a risk, obviously, but what are you supposed to do? You're noning. So Abai Amar, really, let's study Katani. It's teaching us two separate things, and sort of the language just got mixed up. Meis Achar Chatzos. If he died after Chatzos, meaning that the chiyuv of Karban Pesach already was chal on the Karban. So, b'no memuna imo yivenu l'shem Pesach. If the son was already memuna on it, so the chiyuv of bringing Karban Pesach happened before he was an onin, and therefore he can bring it as a Pesach, he can bring the Karban. You know, generally, you know, literally he can bring it. So, however, meis kodem Chatzos, so then if he dies before Chatzos, ein b'no memuna imo yivenu l'shem shlamin. If he dies before Chatzos, and the son was not part of the Karban, he's allowed to bring it as a Shlamin. Because at the time of the Karban Pesach, there is no obligation on that animal to be a Karban Pesach, because he was already disqualified from bringing the Karban Pesach. And therefore, the animal was never sort of pushed away. It wasn't disqualified in any way. It was just not relevant, because he's an Onin, and therefore he can bring it as a Shlamin. And that's what Abai says. Really, he's teaching us two separate halachas. It just got the language was shortened. So Rav Shravya Amar Le'olam Demisl Achar Chatzos. Really, he died after Chatzos. Uchagon Shaya Aviv Goses BaChatzos. The only problem was that he was a Goses. Goses is someone who's on their deathbed. If someone's on their deathbed, so then it's as if you're dead. In which case, there's sort of like a limbo zone there. Because he's destined to die, so then even at the time of Chatzos, though, he was basically dead. And therefore, the Karban at Chatzos is itself going to be a Karban Pesach, I think. But he's not yet an Onin.
He's not an Onin yet.
Yeah, I think that's right. He's not yet an Onin because at the time of Chatzos, there's an obligation for the Karban Pesach, but there's not yet a Chiyuv to be an Onin, so you can still bring the Karban Pesach. Okay, so Rav Ashi Amar Le'olam Demis La'achar Chatzos. Rav Ashi says, no, he really died after Chatzos, in which case there's a Chiyuv of Karban Pesach on the person. Rabbi Shimon, he de Amar Ein Bali Chaim Nivchim. However, we don't push away animals, and therefore, even though he died after Chatzos, we would still bring the Karban as a Shlamin. I think that's what it's saying. Yeah. Okay. So he died after Chatzos. The question of after Chatzos is really about when the child was not Mamuna on the Karban. So then how can you bring it as a Shlamin? It should be brought as a Moser HaPesach. In which case, here, how are you allowed to do it? So, according to Rabbi Shimon, you don't push away Baalei Chaim, meaning you don't allow animals to just go off to the pasture. Rather, you have to bring them as karbanot somehow.
Rabbi, if the son is not registered, let's use the case as the son not being registered he's still an inheritor of all of his father's
And therefore,
possessions.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't inheritance laws...
that's only monetary
for him.
That's only that's only for the monetary aspect of the carbon. That doesn't say for the halachic aspect of it. So you're right. And I think my impression is, I'm not sure, I don't know this for sure, but my impression is that's why other people can't bring it. Let's say he's got a whole group that's going to be part of the Karban Pesach, right? His son is not part of that group, but there are other people part of that group. So when the father dies, why can't the other people bring the carbon? Right, the other people in the group. My assumption is because the son has ownership over that carbon now.
Uh-huh.
That's my sort of like a quagmire. The son owns it, but other people are mamuna on it. So it's sort of like, what do you do? That's my impression. Although I can't tell you for sure if that's the case. Either way, Ravina Amar Kegon Sheyfrishu Achar Chatzos. Ravina says no. They only established it after Chatzos. In which case, at the time of Chatzos, Chatzos never made it into a Karban Pesach. They only bought the carbon after Chatzos, and therefore Umesu Abalim after Chatzos, and then the owner died after Chatzos because Savar Chatzos Kava. And the only reason that it would be considered Karban Pesach is if it had been a Karban Pesach, if it was already designated from before Chatzos. But they only said this animal was supposed to be a Karban Pesach after Chatzos, in which case it cannot be deemed as Moser Pesach. It can't be deemed as a post-Chatzos designation of Karban Pesach, in which case you're allowed to bring it as a Shlamim afterwards. Okay, interesting that we look at Chatzos so literally like that. But either way, let's continue with the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, HaPesach Shnes Ari Bizvachim. Let's say the Pesach gets mixed into other Karbanos. The problem, of course, is timing and ritual. You don't know what to do with one animal versus another animal. So the Gemara says, Kulan Yiru Achi Istavu. Basically, you have a bunch of different animals. They're all designated for different karbanos, but now you forgot which one's which. So what you have to do is you have to let them all go out to pasture. They all have to develop a mum, a blemish of some kind. You take the money that you can sell those for, and you have to say as if the best of those animals is for each one of those karbanos, right? The best of that animal, which could sell for the highest amount, you have to give that much money's worth for each of those types of karbanos, right? So let's say you've got an ola and an asham and a pesach. So if the animal which was designated for the pesach was the most expensive animal, that was a gezunta animal, right? So that you have to get the value for that animal. And because you don't know if that was the pesach, the ola, or the asham, so you have to pay that monetary value for the same animal for the pesach, for the ola, and the asham, which means you're losing out on some money because you're paying money that you don't know. Michael, I'm getting some background, so I'm going to mute you. You don't know which one of those. I can't mute you. Michael, what are you doing to me? You can't know which one of those animals was for which one, so you have to give the best of each for each. And that's what it means here. V'yafsid hamosar mebeso, the extra money that you have to pay for the other two animals, for the other two karbanos, is going to come out of your own pocket because you mixed it up, right? It's a little, basically, a natural kenas, right? We're punishing the guy for getting his karbanos, his animals mixed up. Okay, nis'ariv bebechoros, however, let's say it's not mixed up into other zvachim, under karbanos, but rather it's mixed up into the firstborn of a person's flock, in which case that also has to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash, but obviously isn't brought in the same way as other kachim, other karbanos. Rabbi Shimon Omer, im chaburas kohanim yochelu. If it's a group of kohanim, right, let's say there's a big group of just kohens, and they mixed up the karbanos with the bechor, So then, actually, the Bechor is brought in a similar way to the Karban Pesach. It's just that the allotment of time to eat it is different from the Karban Pesach, right? The Pesach is eaten that night, and the Bechor, I think you give it like 2 days worth, for 2 days and one night, meaning you get the next day. So in that case, if the whole group is Kohanim, so then they're allowed to eat it. they're allowed to eat the Karban Pesach because they could eat the Bechor and they could eat the Karban Pesach. So both of those would work. So if they're all Kohanim, there's no problem with doing that. Except for the fact, as the Gemara is now going to say, so wait a second, v'hakamaisi kachim lebeis hapsul. You're bringing kachim to a disqualification. Because when it comes to two karmas, right, you got two animals, right? You designated a Karban Pesach for this group of, let's say, 20 Kohanim. Now you're doubling the meal, right? You're making it that they have to eat double the amount of food. So what's going to happen? I think that's what it's saying. That when you have double the amount of food, but in less time, so now they're not going to finish eating all the meat. It's too much meat. I don't know if that's possible, according to some, you know, to Gil Stebbins, if you could have too much meat. But apparently here, it's possible that they're not going to finish all the meat. In which case, you're going to be obligating them to bring it to an Isser. You're creating a disqualification in that there's going to be too much extra left over, and you're not allowed to have leftovers. So Rabbi Shimon Lepatame, so Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon is, this is according to Rabbi Shimon, that says, De'amar mevin kachim lebeis hapsul, you're allowed to bring kachim to that state if it means doing something properly. Ditnan, the Mishnah says, Asham shenisarev bishlamim, it's a Mishnah in Zvachim. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, yishchatu batzafon, you do it in the north, apparently, like you do the Asham, and you should eat it to the extent the most machmir of times, meaning only one day's worth. So Amrulo and Mavin Kashal Mesapsul, they said to him, you're not allowed to do that. You're gonna basically require them to eat too much meat, and some of it's gonna be left over. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's better to get the carbon right and to sacrifice or to bring in the possibility of leaving some meat over, instead of getting the carbon wrong or not bringing the carbon and thereby avoiding the Isser, right? It's basically like, you know, better to have had a carbon and leftovers than to have not had a carbon at all, right? Right? Better to have loved and lost than to whatever that line is. So same thing here. That's Rabbi Shimon Shita. Better to have the carbon and potentially violate the Isser if you can't finish the meat than to not have the carbon at all. So the Gemara says, "V'rabbanan hechi avdino." According to the rabbis, what would they do? Amar Rav namtin lo achi yimimu v'yavi behema shmena. That you let the animals, basically both of them, go out the pasture and to become blemished, and then you get a real gazunta animal here. I think that's what it means, right? V'yavi behema shmena. Get a real fat animal. That it's basically the amount of money for both of these together. I don't know how you're going to find that, but you got two animals, right? Both those animals are blemished. You're going to get one animal, which is the value of both of those put together. So it's got to be a shemena, a real good gazunta, you know, whatever it is.
Zaftig.
Zaftig, there you go. Zaftig animal there. And then you use it for the Karban Pesach. V'lema kol hecha de'isa le'pesach tachol ad'hai. Anything that the Pesach, whichever one of those animals was for the Pesach, so it should go on to this animal. And you should eat it just like a bechor, which got a blemish. I don't know when you're doing this. Presumably you're doing this for the Karban Pesach. But what if they don't get a blemish by the time Pesach comes along? Does anyone have that answer?
Trying.
I guess you eat it as if it's a leftover Karban Pesach. I guess that's what it's saying. Even though you're not going to get it done before Pesach. Yeah. Okay.
For the Kohanim, though, couldn't they have one Pesach of each of the animals?
And by the way, if it happens beforehand, it could be that they had a less amount of meat, in which case that's what we said before by Rabbi Shimon, it's only in the case where you have too much meat. It's possible you'd be able to eat it, right? It's possible that Gil Stebbins is part of your Chabura and you'll have no problem finishing it off. Right, so but there's also a concern that maybe you don't have Gil Stebbins, right? Joey Chestnut is already mamuna on a different carbon. So what are you supposed to do? You don't
if
have.
If you eat, if the Kohen eats,
convert him, Rabbi. Convert him.
Yeah.
If the Kohen eats at least a kazayah of the meat, it's good. It's as if that service happened. The service of the eating happened.
The carbon is still good. As long as you eat a little bit. But there's an additional isser to leave over some of the meat.
Right. But that could happen anyway. The nos.
Yeah, Enochanami, but it's a greater potential, greater possibility if you have two animals than if you have one.
But it's not as big of an issue if the Kohen did eat at least because I saw the meat. That's
no, it's,
the issue.
It's
He doesn't have to finish it necessarily. He has to eat a certain amount of it.
The animal has to be finished, right? There's an isser to not be finished.
If it's a Pesach, yeah.
Yeah.
You're supposed to burn it, use it, eat it all.
Well, the before also, I think there's an isser to leave over the meat. So either way.
It's noser after the second day.
Yeah, but we're going to make it noser beforehand. But yeah. So if, however, the blemish comes before Pesach, so you can use this zaftig animal for the Pesach also, by the way. Maybe a good meal. Okay, new Mishnah, long Mishnah. It's a little complicated just in terms of this language, but let's go through it. Chabura she'avad pischa. Let's say you've got a chabura and they lost the animal. The amru le'echad. They go to one of the guys in the chabura and say, "You're a hunter. You can find this animal. Go find it for us." Say ubakesh ushchot alenu, right? Go find it. V'halach umatza v'shachat. So then he finds it and he shechts the animal. I guess those people weren't in Yerushalayim, so he goes and he finds it and he brings it to Yerushalayim and he shechts it for the Karban Pesach. At the same time, however, v'heim lakhu v'shachtu. They also went and found a different animal, a different sheep for the Karban Pesach, and they shechted that animal for the Karban Pesach. So they don't know, right, this time without cell phones, and they don't know that the other guy already found it. So they went and made their own. I don't know why they couldn't find each other at the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know. Presumably that would be the best thing to do. But for whatever reason, they couldn't communicate, and they both brought a Karban Pesach. So what's the situation? Im shalo nishchad rishon hu ochel mishalo v'hem ochlin imo mishalo. If he found the animal, the original animal, before they got a new one, so then he eats from his and they also eat with him because that animal was shechted on their behalf before they brought their own. V'im shalahen nishchad rishon. If, however, they brought theirs first, that guy wasn't with them when they brought that carbon. In which case, hem ochlin mishalahen. They eat the one.
Why wouldn't they have included him in their?
Because he didn't ask them to. Well, we'll see later on in the Mishnah. It's going to.
They know they lost the animal. I mean, a chabur is a chabur. They're a club. So they went to look for another animal. You would think that they would think of him as well.
They
as
could have. The they could have, but this situation in the Mishnah is where they didn't. Right? They could have. Later in the Mishnah, it's going to be a two-way street, and we'll see what happens then. But right now, it's a one-way street. That they told him, go find it, and then they made their own. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, in that case, they'll eat from theirs. Him ochlim mishalahen, v'hu ochel mishalo. He's still stuck finding his own. He's still not fine. He already found it, but he found it after theirs. So then he has to eat that old carbon by himself. I don't know exactly what's
going on. So he's for sure going to leave carbon over. He's going to for sure leave meat over.
I would assume so. I can imagine that this is also theoretical. Maybe they sent out a group of five people to go find it, and the same thing would apply. Yeah. I don't know. If you don't know which one was first, or they did it mamash at the exact same time, which by the way means that they were both sitting in the Azara at the exact same time and they couldn't find each other. I don't know, but either way, so he eats from his and they're not allowed to eat from his, and theirs has to go to the Beis HaSreifa because it could have been that he brought his carbon first, in which case they already were yotzei their carbon Pesach. So the logistics and the practicality of this is kind of interesting. I don't know exactly how it works. They both shechted it. They both brought them thinking that they were bringing them for themselves, or the first person thought he was bringing it for everybody. And then they saw each other, right? No one's eating anything yet. I guess on their way out, they're holding the Karban Pesach meat. On their way out, they say, "Hey, we didn't realize that you brought it, right? We didn't realize that you got it, right? You didn't text us fast enough. And we did our own." So now they're stuck. Now they have to figure out, what do we do with the new carbon we just brought? So in that situation, they're not allowed to eat from that carbon they just brought because maybe his was first. In which case, the carbon that they just brought was a nothing, right? It wasn't a Karban Pesach because they can't be Mimuna on a second carbon. So
can't they make a conditional statement that this second one is the carbon if our friend doesn't find it? Or if he finds it in Orphan at first and we don't meet him, that this will be our Shlamin?
There's conditional statements coming up in the Mishnah, but it doesn't say here. It's interesting, though. Well, I don't know why. Maybe when we get to that part of the Mishnah, we'll see why it wouldn't apply to an individual. Presumably, you're right. I don't know why it wouldn't be the same situation as later in the Mishnah. Maybe later in the Mishnah is giving another alternative option, but it gives a different case for that. So I don't know. But either way, they can't eat from his carbon. They also can't eat from their own carbon. They basically have to send it to be burned up. And the Gemara then says, however, even though that's the case, Betur Milasos Pesach Sheni, we assume that they were Yotze the Karban Pesach, one way or another. Either through that guy or through their own, they just couldn't eat it. Meaning they ate no Karban Pesach, and they're still Yotze the Karban Pesach. Amr Lehen, so if he says to them, Im Echarti, if I'm late, Tzu V'shachtu Alai, right? This is David's case. This is the more sensible thing. The guy says to them, if I don't find it and get back to you soon enough, so then include me in the second one, right? They're going to make a time. If I don't get back to you by 5 o'clock, go find another animal on the streets of Yerushalayim and bring that Karban Pesach and have me in mind, so at least I'll be back in Yerushalayim to eat from the Karban. So, halach umata v'shachat, if then he goes and finds it, so v'hein lakum v'shachat, and they also go and buy a new Karban and shecht, im shalahen nishchar rizon, so similar thing, im shalahen nishchar rizon, hein ochel mishalahen, v'hu ochel mi'imayin. He's allowed to eat with them because he said to them, right, like David said before, he said to them, do it for me too. V'hu ochel mi'imayin, he's allowed to eat with them, they're obviously allowed to eat theirs, if theirs was first. V'im shalon nishchar rizon, so hu ochel mishalo, v'hein ochel mishalahen. Right, they can both eat from each other, basically, whoever's first. V'im ein yodeh ezim en nishchar rizon, o sheshach tushnei mekachad, you don't know which one came first. Hein ochel mishalahen, v'hu ein ochel mi'imayin. They eat theirs, but he's not allowed to eat with them. That's interesting. Why is that the case? They're allowed to eat from their own. Oh, because when they brought it, they had in mind that they weren't going to be part of the other one. And, oh, because they didn't say it back to him. This is a one-way street the other way. This is not what David's saying yet.
His is burned. It says,
right. Meaning that he says to them, if I don't find it, shecht your own and have it me in mind. But they never said to him that if you find it, shecht it for us. So when he shechts it, he's shechting it mamash for himself. So the question is, so they're allowed to still eat from their own because they weren't, even if he was first, they weren't included in his. V'hu enu ochem imahen, shelo yetzi lebeis ha-sreifa. If a shalol yitz to beis hasreifa, his has to go to beis hasreifa, and patur mizalos to pesach sheni, similar to them in the first case.
You're right; it's the exact opposite case.
It's the exact opposite case. But now we're going to have a two-way street. Amar lahen v'amrulo, so ochlin kula min harishon, whichever one's first. V'im enu yodeh ezrem neshcha rishon shnei miyotz beis hasreifa. If they, I mean, this is the reason why you maybe wouldn't want to say a two-way conditional statement, because if they both say, you do it for me and I'll do it for you, if it happens at the same time, neither of them are going to eat anything. Right? So that's the risk that you run. Obviously with cell phones.
But it doesn't say in this last paragraph that they're not, it doesn't use the term that they're putzer.
It's interesting.
From Pesach Sheni.
That is interesting.
I wonder why it doesn't say that.
Yeah.
I'm sure they are putzer, but it would say it tough.
It would seem that way. It's interesting. It does say, yeah.
Shendel said they are exempt from second.
Where do you see that? Oh, it says
in the notes.
Oh, interesting.
Our scroll notes says they're exempt from Pesach Sheni.
Okay, why wouldn't it mention it though? That's interesting. The Tzlach says they are. The Tzlach apparently says that they are still Chayiv and Pesach Sheni. Everybody else says they're okay though, Rashi and the Rambam. Presumably, we would pass in that they're also patur like the other ones. But it is interesting, diak, that the Gemara doesn't pick up on, or the Gemara doesn't mention. Interesting stuff. Okay, last case, or last of this type of case. Lo amar lehen, velo amru lo. Neither of them talked about either one. So, enach ran zelazah. They basically said, okay, we're dissolving our whole chabura. Do whatever you want. Right? Every man for themselves, basically. So, no one's beholden to either one of them. So, shtei chabur shenis arvu pischein. Let's say two groups. Both have a carbon, but the animals got mixed up. You know, next door neighbors and the sheep broke through the fence, and now both sheep look just like similar to each other. They're both sitting there.
But we know these are all designated as holy offerings.
They're both supposed to be for the Karban Pesach. So this is the complicated part. Elu moshchin lahem echad ve'elu moshchin lahen echad. Right. So basically, what it seems like. They both take one of the animals to their side, right? I'm just imagining like two sides of a fence, right? This one's for us, that one's for us. And then they say, Echad me elu ba lo etzel elu. One of the people from the chabura in one house go to the other house. Ve'echad me elu ba lo etzel elu. And vice versa. And then, ka, ve'kach him omer. This is what they should say. the new one that comes to the chabura, the other person's chabura. Im shelanu hua pesach hazeh. If this animal that you took for yourself is really our pesach, so then yadecha meshuchos meshelcha, your hands should be removed from this one, meaning, you know, disqualify yourself from this carbon, right? Dissolve your chabur, except for me. V'nimnes al shelanu, and you'll be part of our carbon, right? The other, you know, yard's carbon. V'im shelcha hu pesach hazeh, and if this one is really the one that you had all along, yadenu meshuchos mishelanu, our hands will be removed from it. V'nimnenu al shelcha, and we will therefore designate ourselves for yours.
This is the first evidence of a trade.
Maybe, I don't know.
In early history. Maybe getting traded in the middle of a doubleheader.
Right, maybe. Right. I hear you. Switch benches. Just put on the other uniform. But yeah, a very complicated case how this works. And there's probably a lot of commentary on it. But this, Michael, is what I was saying before, that we have a conditional statement here, but we didn't have one earlier. V'chein chamish chaburo shal chamisha chamisha. And similarly, if there are five and they all got mixed together, shal asara asara, v'shal asara asara, you have 10 mixed together, and each one is 10. U'moshchen lehen echad mikol chabur v'chabur, so each one designates another person to go to the other chaburas. V'chein heim omer, they also say similar things. Another case, shnaim shenis arvu pischein ze moshech lo echad v'ze moshech lo echad. Again, you swap one person. Ze mimana imo echad min ashuk. The other person brings a random person, another person, a third person. Because he's going to be the one that carries it over, right? He's going to be the sort of the neutral one. I think that's going to be sort of the new. I guess designee of the carbon. I'm not sure why that's necessary. It's only two people. That's why. It's only two. I thought it was two groups of two. It's one person has one carbon pesach, another person has another carbon pesach. It's Joey Chestnut and Kobayashi both have their own carbon pesach. They're both going to finish the whole thing all by themselves. And now they didn't realize which sheep was which. So now they have to bring in somebody else that's going to do this fancy conditional statement because they can't do it for each other because there's nobody on the other one, right? The Gemara is going to say you have to have at least one person still on the carbon. So zem imana imo echem meshuk zem mani echem meshuk zem ba itzel zem zem ba itzel zem vekach imori mishalihu apesach zem yadach meshuchos mishalcha v'nimnes al shali v'im shalcha hu pesach zem yadach meshuchos mishali v'nimnes si al shalcha, and through that they'll be able to eat all of the karbanos.
This is all verbal, correct? This is all done verbally.
Yeah, it sounds like that. What in the end of the day, what happens? They both share the carbon pesach. What do? No, they just take their carbons to their own, whatever animal they have. They just take that animal, and the condition basically applies that person that came over is now allowing them to be part of his carbon, and the other person is allowing them to be part of their carbon. If it really is the case, they got the wrong one.
But okay. I thought we had a situation where you're not supposed to bring a carbon pesach for one individual.
Oh, so the Gemara is going to talk about that. The Gemara is going to say basically this only works according to the opinion that it's within one individual. The Gemara is then going to say, well, it could even be understood within Rabbi Yehuda Shita that it can't be for one individual. But we'll see that Mirz Hashem tomorrow morning, 9:00. Shkar Rabosai, Mirz Hashem will finish the parak and start into Arvei Pesachim, which we'll get into halacha that some people might have used this past Friday, not something that I recommended because of the complications involved, about what do you do on Erev Shabbos if you eat too late in the day. Can you use that meal to be for your Purim meal and for your Shabbos meal at the same time? How do you do that? So that's going to be relevant to the Gemara on Amud Beis tomorrow. Shkayach.
Thank you,
Rabbi.
Everyone should be well. Have a good week.
My wife likes your clock.
Oh, thank you. We just got it. Everyone be well.
Bye.